Beauty of the Lord. Mahabhage, most fortunate. Mahatmani, whose mind was very broad. Hiranyakashipu, the demon Hiranyakashipu. Rajan, O King, Akarot, performed. Agam, very great sin. Atmaje, to his own son. Srila Prabhupada translation, Srila Prabhupada translation. My dear King Yudhishthira, the demon Hiranyakashipu tormented his exalted devotee, exalted fortunate devotee, although Prahlada was his own son. When a demon like Hiranyakashipu, despite his exalted position due to severe austerities, began to tease a devotee, he begins falling down, and the result of his austerities dwindle. One who oppresses a pure devotee loses all the results of his austerities, penances, and pious activities. Since Hiranyakashipu was now inclined to chastise his own most exalted devotee son, Prahlada Maharaja, his opulences began dwindling. So according to, if we read further in this chapter, or actually beginning next chapter, we can see that the question will come. How come Hiranyakashipu do this? And why it is actually bad to chastise his son? We know that parents, the duty of parents is to pass down the values, whatever they gained from the disciplic succession. Everybody has a father and mother, and whatever they gain, the values, you have to pass it down to your next generation. That's basically what is the system of Vedic civilization. So in this case, Hiranyakashipu was a demon, and he had his own demoniac value system, of course. His duty, he felt that was his duty to pass it down to the next generation. That is Prahlada Maharaj. So he did that. And then Prahlada Maharaj, at least he tried, let's say like that. They put him, Prahlada Maharaj, under the supervision of Shukracharya's two sons in a Gurukula. And then he's supposed to learn their politics and how to exploit the material nature. We know that Shukracharya is very expert in Niti Shastra. Niti Shastra deals with politics and basically how to live in the material world to get the best out of it. That's what Niti Shastra deals with mainly. Tell you what is the best way to get things done. So in this case, he put him in a Gurukula, in demoniac Gurukula, to make sure that Prahlada Maharaj will get the same values whatever he got. So according to the normal Vedic system, he was a very good father, isn't it? So now the problem is that when Prahlada Maharaj was a devotee, yeah? That was the only difference. That was a big problem. So Hiranyakashipu didn't understand it, although Srila Prabhupada mentions here, despite his elevated position due to severe austerities. Yeah, so he did a lot of austerities. He was basically the ruler of the universe. All the demigods were scared of him and like that. So that was his position in the universe. So then he thought, who is this 5-year-old kid? Although he's being my son, how can he misbehave with me? I'm his father, I'm caring for him, I'm feeding him, I'm giving him the best education, whatever is available. Shukracharya is the second best probably in the whole universe, after Brihaspati. So then he got the best, and probably for demons, Shukracharya is the best and Brihaspati is the second best. So then in this case, so he did his best, and then his son is being naughty and not following whatever he thinks should be followed. Not following his footsteps. So now he's punishing him. And because the punishment doesn't work out, because Prahlada Maharaj is very powerful, for some mysterious reasons, of course he thinks that because of him, because he is very powerful, so his son will be more powerful. So therefore he actually gets to that level that he actually wants to kill him due to ignorance. And also Prabhupada mentions here that the austerities, penances, and pious activities will dwindle for a person who torments a devotee, disturbs a devotee. Okay, now we see here a very severe example. Bhagavatam is always full of these severe examples. When devotees have to go through a very difficult situation due to misunderstandings. So we also sometimes get into a situation like this, when we think what we're doing is the right thing, and actually it's not the right thing, because we overlook some, let's say, major detail. Details are small usually, but major detail means it's a very important detail. That means, yeah, like a serious principle here. So which principles actually he looked over? For example, there is one called the principle of elevation. Everybody is supposed to be elevating himself continuously. Devotional service, devotional life, Vedic lifestyle means constant elevation. There are 18 Puranas given, there are different levels of Shastras given for different people at different stages of life. So sometimes we have, let's say, for example, somebody is in Tamoguna, then for them there are Puranas, like Matsya Purana, Linga Purana, and then those Puranas, they will address those needs and lead them towards the higher Puranas. We cannot say that those Puranas are in Tamoguna. No, they are not. They are meant for people in the Tamoguna. They are pure Puranas, like every other Purana, but they are meant for people who are in Tamoguna. So those who study them in other gunas, then they should understand that is using a particular language to address those people. And when those people study those Puranas, then they elevate to the next level of Puranas called Rajoguna Puranas. And then those who study those ones, then they elevate themselves to the higher Puranas, which are in Sattvaguna. And after studying all the Puranas, one has to come to Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Shuddha Sattva, because it deals with pastimes of Lord Krishna. Of course, you will see pastimes of Lord Krishna all the way through in Adi Puranas also, but Srimad Bhagavatam deals with pastimes of Lord Krishna in the most pure state, when it's pure devotional service. And everything is focusing on pure devotional service. If you see on the beginning, it starts with Dharma Projita Kaita Vota Paramonir Matsaranam Satam. Dharma Projita. All these inferior religions, inferior duties, are now rejected. That's how Bhagavatam starts. It starts, so all the different kinds of duties, let's say, okay, Vedic Shastras, they give three sets of duties. One is called Nitya, Naimittika, and Kamya. So Kamya means, Kamya means whatever somebody wants to do, but it has to be in line with Shastra. Let's say I want to get married, so there is a way how to get married. I want to enjoy whatever I want to enjoy, there is a way to enjoy that. There are scriptures for that. Somebody wants to enjoy sexual life, there is Kama Shastra for that. So somebody wants to do those things, there are Shastras which describes how to do that. So that's a bottom line. Somebody wants to live in a material world as a human being, he must follow Shastra. If he's not following Shastra, that means he's an animal. Although he may be walking around a human body. So that's basically a Shastric evidence. That's what Shastra says. So everybody has to follow Shastra. Therefore, there is Kama Shastra. Somebody wants to enjoy, there are Shastras for that. But that's a bottom line. That's animal. That's actually animalistic lifestyle still, but elevating. That's animalistic lifestyle with an elevation to higher consciousness. Without accepting Shastra is animalistic lifestyle without elevation. So it's going to remain or go sink down into plant and other forms of life. So that's called Annamaya also in the Vedic literature. based on sense gratification. Consciousness based on sense gratification. So for them, there is a Shastra which is called Kama Shastra. Then after that, there is called Naimittika duties. Duties which are for elevation, let's say like samskaras are Naimittika duties. They are performed sometimes. And there is duties which are performed every single day. They are personal sadhanas. Different duties which everybody performs. This is basically a Vedic viewpoint. But this is a Vedic viewpoint on a Vedic level. There is also a Vedic viewpoint on a Bhagavatam level, or Bhagavat level. That is presented by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jaivadharma, where he actually mentions Nitya means, refers to transcendental, means it's connected to Krishna, because it's always applicable. So he mentions what is Dharma. Dharma, he says, is a nature of something, and gives an example, a nature of something which is always applicable. He gives an example of water. Water is liquid. Sometimes it becomes solid, sometimes becomes steam, but very, very short it's going to become back to, it will come back to liquid form. So unnaturally it might turn into ice or steam, but when all those effects are gone, then it's going to come back to liquid form, because the nature of water is liquid. So that is Dharma. That is called Nitya Dharma. So the Nitya Dharma of living entity is Krishna Nitya Das. That's according to Chaitanya Charitamrita and all other scriptures. Because it's created by Krishna, maintained by Krishna, and therefore there's an automatic relationship that is subordinate to Krishna. And subordinate means it has to serve. That was Prahlad Maharaj's point here also. Prahlad Maharaj's point was, if you can see the next shlokas will describe, that you know, what is the essence of religion and what I learned from this Gurukul and what is the essence of everything is, one must go away from the material sphere of life and go to the forest and serve Lord Hari over there. Take shelter of Lord Hari, Hari Mahashrayeta. So that is the highest. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu got upset with him and then wanted to punish him and later wanted to kill him. So as I mentioned, there is a hierarchy of scriptures and a hierarchy of different principles should be applied. And here we say that there's a principle of elevation where it was broken. Hiranyakashipu, he thought that what is his value system, that he's being a demon and enjoy the world as much as possible and squeeze everything and doesn't matter what, just enjoy. That is the highest way of living. But here Prahlad Maharaj points out, no, that's not the highest way of living. There's higher than that. So this is how basically we understand what has to be done. If something is higher, then we have to take the higher. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, Bhakati Vinoda Krishna Bhajani Anukula Jahapai Prati Divasi Paramasukhi Svikare Koroetaha. So whatever Bhaktivinoda Thakur, during performing Krishna service, whatever he sees favorable for devotional service, he will accept. Hiranyakashipu certainly he didn't accept it. That was his failure. If a son surpasses the father, then the father should accept it. Oh, my son is getting more advanced than me. So he should acknowledge that and actually accept that. And then if need to, then later, yeah, even follow the son, because son can be more elevated than the father. Even the student can be more elevated than his guru. It's possible. Of course, it's not usually, but still, the respect. Unfortunately, Shukra Acharya is Acharya of Niti Shastra, Shukra Niti. He is not Acharya of Bhagavatam. We can see later also, when the story comes there to Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj's grandson, Shukracharya says, don't give this Vamana Dev anything. He will take everything from you. And then his Lord Vishnu himself, be careful. So then Bali Maharaj said that, you know, my father was a devotee. He was protected by Lord Vishnu. So why should I worry? If I surrender to Lord Vishnu, he will protect. And if Lord Vishnu personally comes to take everything from me, let him take. I should be more than obliged that Lord Vishnu comes to me personally. So then he gave everything and Krishna took everything. But then after Krishna gave him, Vamana Dev gave him again back everything. He had better opulences than Lord Indra himself. So like that. So that's a Niti Shastra is not the highest. There is a higher than that. Then higher than this Dharma Shastras. Dharma Shastras gives you duties, how to run a kingdom. And then a higher than that is the bhakti. Books, shastras on bhakti, the devotional service. There are five levels of consciousness. So the first one was, I explained already, that was kama, was annamaya, and that was connected to kama shastra. Next one will be pranamaya, that is related to niti, how to function within the society. Then duty, that's the next one, that is called jnana or manomaya. That is duty. That is Dharma Shastras. Dharma Shastras describe duty. Then the Puranas and other Vedic scriptures, which describes the function of the universe, that is called Jnana, Vijnanamaya, higher understanding, how the whole universe, everything is linked together. And then highest is Anandamaya, or you could call it Premanandamaya, which is pleasing satisfaction coming from pleasing Lord Krishna. That is devotional service. So that's the five levels. Therefore, we can see Hiranyakashipu was stuck on a second level, or third level, maybe. Because he was also a king, so probably he was taking care of his citizens nicely.
But still,
he's
on a third level, but on a fifth level. Pranamaraj was on the fifth level of consciousness. So then, there was a serious level that can be between the two. So that has, should have been acknowledged by Shukracharya, it should have been acknowledged by Hiranyakashipu. I understand that, that Pranamaraj is in a higher level. So therefore, he has no right to punish. Punishment can be done when somebody is leading somebody in the right direction and the person doesn't do that. But Hiranyakashipu wasn't leading Pranamaraj. Leading is your front and somebody is behind you. The principle of leadership means leadership always has to be on the front and pull everybody else, lead everybody else. So but what happened then? Hiranyakashipu was in a lower situation, lower state of consciousness. And he couldn't lead. So he had no right to punish. Therefore he said that Kshatriya has
no right to punish Brahmanas. And especially has no right to punish Vaishnavas. Because they not understand what these people are doing. They not understand, they have no higher consciousness to be able to understand that. That's what happened also to Ambarish Maharaj and was Durvasa Muni, I think. Durvasa Muni thought that Ambarish Maharaj made a mistake. No, Durvasa made a mistake. And then some of the Sudarshan Chakra made it clear for Durvasa that he made a mistake. So like that. Why? Because also over there, higher consciousness was with the Ambarish Maharaj had a higher consciousness than Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni was a Brahmana, and Ambarish Maharaj was a pure devotee. We can also read it before, in the previous verses, Prahlad Maharaj also was a pure devotee, and constantly remembering Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna was constantly with him. Not even a second separated. And when he separated, then Prahlad Maharaj was immediately crying in separation for Lord Krishna. So there was a very close relationship between Prahlad Maharaj and Krishna. So even before, actually, even when he born, actually, he was already pure devotee. Even in the womb, he was a pure devotee because of association of Narada Muni. So Hiranyakashipu had no right in any way to punish him. Anybody has any questions or comments? Yes, Mataji?
Krishna. Prabhu, you mentioned three kinds of shastra: Kama Shastra, Niti Shastra, and Dharma Shastra. And are there also other kinds?
There's one more, I forgot which is the next one. There's one more level there after Dharma Shastra. Basically, the Puranas and Vedas. I'm not exactly remember what was the exact name. Maybe somebody remembers it. Four levels are there.
Four levels.
Yeah. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Moksha Shastras. Sorry, Moksha, yeah. Moksha Shastras.
Moksha Shastra and then Transcendental.
Yeah, then beyond. Moksha takes you to the liberation. So something which takes you further than liberation, that is Transcendental. Take you into the spiritual world. Because liberation itself is not enough to go back to Gatha. Or even, it's just not enough. Because liberation itself is not a steady platform. Unless somebody is constantly engaged, eagerly engaged in devotional service. There's a drive of performing devotional service. Then somebody cannot enter the spiritual world. It has to be a constant inspiration. Then somebody can get through. Otherwise, there's no way. Somebody will have to come back to the material world. Yes, Prabhu? Could you give the microphone to Prabhu? Proper consciousness, it gives liberation. Doesn't give bhakti without proper consciousness, but liberation it gives, suddenly, immediately. So then, people are immediately eligible to start studying Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And after studying Bhagavad Gita, they can study Srimad Bhagavatam also. So that basically how people of Kali Yuga can go back to Godhead within one lifetime. So they no need to study all the other shastras, because everything is in the Bhagavad Gita and in Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is the essence of all scriptures. If you study the Bhagavatam, then you can actually see different elements from other shastras pulled in, which are the essence. Because other shastras, they give you so many things to do. But what is the essence of it? Let's say there's a chapter on samskaras. And the samskara will say, okay, so you have to take kusha grass and do this and that and this and that. And in the end, there will be one shloka will say that this is how you please Lord Krishna. So what is the essence of it? This is how you please Lord Krishna. Pleasing Lord Krishna. That what Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu also mentions, Marte Satatam Vishnu Vistamata Vinajatachit Sarva Vididishira Sireta Yajava Kinkara. Means, obviously, Emperor Krishna never forget him. This is the essence of all Vedic literature, and every single injunction is following after this one, serving this particular one. So basically, all the essence will be drawn into the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam deals with everything. It deals about how the universe is created, how the universe is structured, how which part of Krishna's body, and how they serve in the greater whole in the universe, how they perform in their duties. Everything is explained here in the Bhagavatam. Even the language in the Bhagavatam is basically used from all of Vedic literature. You can see there are sections which are actually like Shruti, like a Vedic language, using Vedic words and Vedic grammar. That's coming from the Vedas, especially when the Vedas offering prayers to Lord Krishna. So over there you can see many Vedic words even. So even the language, or the essence of the language is in the Bhagavatam. The different chandas, you can see different shloka meters are there in the Bhagavatam. Everything, all the essence in all aspects of Vedic, all aspects of Veda is in the Bhagavatam. Everything from the Veda is in the Bhagavatam. So no need to study more other shastra, actually. Like that. Is it okay like that? Anybody has any other question or comment? Yes, Madhuri? Yes.
Krishna, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gave the same possibility to everyone. He gave the same mercy to everyone, but some people take it and others don't. Is that not due to our previous sukriti?
It's basically due to our attitude. But there's also Srila Prabhupada mentioned that the books are like time bombs. They're just sitting on the shelf, and one day they just explode. So people are maybe in the material world here, and then we're doing Harinam every day on the street, and they may not become devotees here. They may be moved to the next city and become devotees over there. So you might say, oh, they didn't become devotees, although we're doing Harinam every day. But it's like that one time it just clicks. One time the sinful activities are eradicated by the Holy Name fully, and by their own endeavors of maybe doing some sort of service to the devotees, or maybe chanting all these Hare Krishnas, they make so much noise here on the street. They chanted Hare Krishna. So maybe by that, then they come to Krishna somehow. All these guys are coming every day here. Let's see what these guys are doing actually. Like that. So after some time it will work, it will act. That's how it just happens. Krishna is all inconceivable energy of Lord Krishna. It just happens. It takes time for some people more, some people less. Just who has a comment? Could somebody give the microphone? Just so pump the microphone.
Hare Krishna. I had a comment to what you said, and then I asked a question. That one. is it actually possible? Because you don't see. I mean, because they may not show it either, but you don't see that the type of prema, you know, that we read about every day or commonplace. You don't actually see people on that platform. And when Mahaprabhu was exhibiting these symptoms of love of God, even all his associates were surprised. They'd never seen anything like that before. And they were siddhas, of course, they're acting as human beings. But they were surprised, they'd never seen anything like that before. So it's very, very rare. So I wondered if it's actually possible by your sadhana bhakti, or whatever it develops to, in Kali Yuga to achieve it, or you just have to wait and serve faithfully, and then when you leave your body, you get the grace of the Granga and the Guru, and then you go back to Godhead.
As far as I remember, it was only when Mahaprabhu comes, then you get this Radha Prema. As far as I remember. And at that time, everybody goes to Vaikuntha, as far as I remember. Nobody goes to Goloka, only to Vaikuntha. As far as I remember, that is Gaur Bhagavan who comes every Kali Yuga, and he just only leads them to Vaikuntha, not to Goloka. As far as I remember, I might be wrong though.
Is it actually possible for the Kali Yuga to get by your sadhana, and then whatever it develops into, to actually come to the stage of prema?
Theoretically, it's possible, and it should be possible, because there is always devotees and always guru. Guru is always available everywhere. So there is no the living entity always get a chance to go back to Godhead. Now the question comes. It actually works out or not. I'm not sure actually if it works out or not. There's always a chance. Krishna always gave a chance for the living entity to go back to Godhead. And Guru is always available. And it's probably possible to go back to Godhead. It's just a question of, I don't know, like that basically.
Is it by our own endeavor, or is it just the extraordinary mercy of Garanga and his associates? Is it possible by your own endeavor? This is my.
I think there's obvious both sides has to be there. Krishna's mercy and the devotee's endeavor. Very rare actually it comes either way. I don't know if there's examples for it though. I don't know.
Because it's quite surprising, of course, we don't see many, you know, prema bhaktis.
Before in the.
We don't see many prema bhaktas.
Yeah, but before Mahaprabhu or.
No, nowadays.
Oh, now.
Yeah, today.
I guess those are prema bhaktas. They're not in the material world anymore.
they don't show it anyway. But you would think if we could do it ourselves, it would be, you know, you'd see quite a number of these.
I have a conviction that by Srila Prabhupada's mercy we will get there for sure.
I accept that side completely. That's what I'm depending on. But I'm just curious.
I don't think so. Without the mercy of Mahaprabhu and Acharyas, I don't think so we have a chance in the Kali Yuga. I don't think so. There was a story with Srila Prabhupada. Somebody said that, you know, Prabhupada, did you say that? And somebody chants 64 rounds, there's no chance to go back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes, you're right. Prabhupada, but we're only chanting 16, you know. What is our chance? You know, how are we going to go back? Prabhupada said, oh, there's a small gate, small door in the back, you know, I will open it, you will come through. So it's our Srila Prabhupada's mercy. I have a question also for John Astrobu. Okay, a few days ago you were giving a lecture and you mentioning that Sambandha is related to hearing. Abhidhaya is related to chanting. What was Prayojana related to? Because that time I had to go to Gurukula, I didn't hear the rest of the class. Could you explain what was the Prayojana related to in those contests of three? Sambandha for chanting, Abhidhaya for, hearing, Abhidhaya for chanting, and Prayojana is for what was connected to.
chanting was Abhideya?
Chanting was Abhideya, I remember. Something like that. I think you give the class, no?
Yeah. So one is Abhideya, that's the chanting. You're chanting, you're following the process. You're given the process, chanting Hare Krishna. And when it's perfect, when you actually get the results of your chanting, that's the prayojana, the goal of it, or love of Godhead, the symptoms will be there. So the result will come if you follow the process. So Govinda represents the process of Krishna consciousness. So you've taken to the process. When that service becomes mature, then you get the fruit of it. That is the prayojana, the goal of it. Love the God.
Thank you. Anybody has any more questions? Grantracham Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Rupat Ki Jai, Antai Gauri Vrindavan.